guess you Michael Roach. My name's Copper. For those that are joining us, welcome. This is such a great opportunity for all of us, you know, to have this training. And without me going too in depth on what it is, I'll let Yeshe go in through that. I just wanted to welcome everyone to this event. Welcome, Yeshe Michael, to this event. The first part is going to be a lecture, so if you wanted to scoot in closer, you're more than welcome. I just want to do a quick check that everyone get a manual and also three of the cleaners. Is it okay?
No, I think it's fine.
Flex.
Yeah. They were frosty. Okay, then we'll start. She has long introduction, but I think it's a little. What do you think?
Do you guys want to hear his background?
You can,
yes,
please.
Yes.
Michael Roach was born in Los Angeles and grew up in Arizona. He graduated with honors from Princeton University and received the Presidential Scholar Medallion from the President of the United States at the White House. In 1995, he was the first foreigner in 600 years to receive the degree of a Geshe, or a Master of Buddhism, after 20 years of study at Saramay Tibetan Monastery. He's one of the founders of Andean International Diamond Corporation of New York, which now has sales in US $250 million per year with about 10,000 employees. He's the author of The Diamond Cutter, an international bestseller book in about 20 languages, and is the founder of Diamond Mountain University in the United States. And he's currently the director of Diamond Cutter Success Institute.
Thank you, Mercedes.
So anyway, I was having lunch with Colin in Hong Kong, 6 months ago. And he's the owner of Pure, and one of the partners, I guess. And we have a project where we help to save the old books in India. So that project now is going for 23 years. So all the money I made from my business, I started the business to help poor people. And so what money I made, we spent to save the books in India. So there are, we have about 200 employees working there, and they find all the Indian books and Tibetan books, and then we scan them all over the world. Like, we have a big project that just finished in Russia for 14 years, and they had 100,000 books from India and Tibet, and we scanned them all, we cataloged all of them, and that just finished last year. So then we scan them, then we send them to the village in India, and we have, mostly women are working, A lot of them are refugee, Tibetan, a lot of Indian women. And in India, it's hard for them to get a good job. So we hire them, and we give them a salary, and we give them computers, and we give them training. And then they are typing the books, and then they go into a database on the web, and that's a free for everybody. Everybody can just take what books they want. So we think this project will take about 150 years, and we finished 23 years. So we finished about 20,000 books, but we still have about 150,000, which we found, but we didn't have time to type, you know. So then I have to pay, then we have many countries we are finding those books. Like in Mongolia, there are a lot of the books are there. I'll show you one, okay? I'll pass it around. This book we found in Russia, in the collection. They love books, and they love to go to other countries. So, you know, for the last 400 or 500 years, they are bringing books back to Russia from India, from Tibet, from China. And so we find the old books, let's say, about yoga. And then we teach people about the meaning of the book. So I have a university we started a university in America. It's a free university. We don't charge the students. And the program is about 14 years study. We are graduating the first class in June after 14 years. And 130 people are graduating. And then we train them how to read these books, how to translate them, then how to use them for many things. You can use for yoga. In my business, I use them. So I teach people how to use these books for their business, for relationship. Tonight we are giving a talk. I don't know where is the place?
SMU.
So we are giving a talk about how to use these books for relationship. With other persons. So we try to save the old books, put them on the, hire the poor people to type them, then we put them on the web for free. And then we translate them so people can read them. And then we try to use them for real life, you know, something people can use. So my business, I started with $7. My teacher told me, you start a business for poor people, refugees, and we had a fight for 1 year. I said, I don't want to do it. And then, but finally he made me to start. And then now, last year, that business was sold to Warren Buffett for $250 million. And we gave all the money, my share, all gave to these projects to help people. So Colin, we met, I'm gonna pass this book. This book we found in Russia, this is a nice book of asana. Very old. This the book is 1,000 years old. I printed on new paper, but the book is copy. Original teaching is 1,000 years old. And you can see this book tells about what I'm going to teach you. So I was talking with Colin. He said, I want to make a donation for your work. So I said, how are you going to make donation? He said, I will ask all my teachers to make announcement in the class about your project, and then, you know, they can ask people if they want to make donation. I said, I don't think anybody will give anything. Because I've been to many yoga classes, and, you know, someone just stand up and ask you for money, it's not, you know, you're not going to enjoy doing that. So I thought, I told Colin, let me teach your staff something from one of these books. Just one thing. You know, my study was 25 years, and then examination is 3 weeks at the end. 1,000 people ask you a question in public, and monk. In my monastery, there are 3,000 monks, and 1,000 will ask you a question like this, and then you have to answer. And so we studied many, many of these books, but I told Colin, let me just teach one book to your staff. You know, and one kind of special asana, and then they will, I think they will like it, you know. And then later, Later, maybe I will come again Pure in New York. And Jiva Mukti, I taught Yoga Sutra and Hatha Yoga Pradipika for 7 years. Every year I came for 10 days and taught them about the old books about yoga. And they're very, very beautiful. And you can use them for your life, and you can use them for your yoga. And then your yoga is much, it's much better, and you can teach better. You can be a better teacher. If you understand the whole background of yoga and the meaning of, inside meaning of yoga, then you are more valuable as a teacher. You know, someone asks you, what about Yoga Sutra? Then you can say something, right? And then Hatha Yoga Pradipika is where all of these asana came from. So anyway, I was talking to Colin, and I said, I will do it for free. You know, I'll pay my own airplane, and I'll teach just 2 days. And then at least you get a taste about this old yoga, the old meaning of yoga. And then you become a better teacher because you understand the old tradition. We study, this study we do for 18 years. Every day for, I don't know, 10 hours, 15 hours. And it's very, very beautiful. So I think I just want to start in New York now. When we teach Yoga Sutra, 300 teachers come to Pure. Last November, Thanksgiving, yeah? 300 teachers came. So now in New York, the level of yoga went up because all of the teachers understand Yoga Sutra and they understand Hatha Yoga Pradipika. We are teaching Bhagavad Gita this year. And their whole level of the teacher got very high now because they understand the meaning of the yoga. So I just want, you know, in Asia, in Taiwan, in Hong Kong, China, Singapore, yoga is pretty new, you know. But now it is growing fast. And I think if, I'm thinking in Pure Yoga, there are the best teachers in Asia are here. So if you want to make a generation, whole new generation of yoga teachers who understand the inside part and the asana part, who understand both, then it's very beautiful. You know, you have a chance now in this generation to make some really fantastic yoga teachers. And then it will be like that for many years, many generations. So I just want to help you understand. I'll tell you how I learned yoga, okay? In my monastery, you know, I studied there for 20, almost 25 years. And we don't have asana, we don't have yoga. So you just meditate and you learn how to read those books. And debating, did you see? It looks like karate or something. You have to, well, I'll do some time. But you jump up and down and scream and you hit the guy and you learn. This is how you learn. This is how you study. You ask question, he gives an answer, then you ask another question. And so we do meditation in the morning. We do some prayers. We do this question. It came from India, yeah? Came from old Indian custom. And then we go to class, teacher teaches us. But we don't do yoga, we don't do asana. So after my, when I finished my geshe, 25 years, then I finished examination. They give you one big yellow hat, maybe you saw. I don't know where's my hat. But anyway, and then they take you in one special room. And it's in the abbot's, in behind room in the abbot. You cannot go there. You're not allowed to go there. And they take you inside. There's one throne, big throne. And they say, sit there. You're not allowed to touch this throne, usually. But they say, okay, you sit there. Then they close the door. They lock the door. And they leave you there. And then you have to think, why did they put me here, you know? And then one guy comes, one monk comes. He is my logic teacher. He teach me nyaya, logic. And so he said, now we start your secret training. You know, we call Tantra, right? We will start, now you, 25 years, preparation finished, now we start the serious study, you know? So I'm like, oh. Then he said, we are going to start with yoga. Then I said, we don't do yoga in the monastery. He said, we do yoga you never saw. You know, I said, I'm here 25 years, I didn't see anyone do asana, you know? He said, we have asana, you know? And he said, we have asana master, teacher. You know, we learn the inside part, the chakras, and we learn for almost 20 years, but we don't learn asana, you know? So then I said, oh, who is the asana master? He said, I am the asana master. Then I said, you are not asana master, you are logic master, you know? He teaches us this thing, you know? And then he said, no, no, I am both, you know? So then he started to teach me the book which you are looking at. It's called Naropa, by Naropa. And he started to teach me that. And after 1-2 years, they said, after 5 years, he said, now you should do 3-year meditation, anistam. You go into a room for 3 years, you just meditate for 3 years, no talking, don't see anybody. And so he said, now you have to start the 3 years meditation. I did it in Arizona, in the desert, in a little yurt. It's a 21 feet across. I checked many times. So I'm starting that 3 years. Then he said, you just check some, if you want to learn some other exercise. Because if you're going to stay in the house for 3 years, you have to do something. So I wanted to learn Indian dancing, you know, Kathak or something, and then I checked, I couldn't find a good teacher. So then my friend said, you should study, there's one good teacher, David Life. This is Jiva Mukti style. So he said, you go to David Life and ask him to teach you Western yoga. So I went, I said, I don't feel comfortable. I live nearby there. Sharon and David. So I said, I don't feel comfortable. He said, why? I said, I heard in the window, I can hear it all the time, Krishna, 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 you know. I'm a Buddhist monk. If I go to sing Krishna song, my teacher will be upset. And then also they have Ganesha, you know, some big guy with elephant nose, you know. And I don't feel comfortable to go there. And then he said, okay, I'll give you private class. I will teach you privately. So I went up the elevator to old Jiva Mukti. Elevator opens, then there's one big Ganesha, like 6 feet tall Ganesha. I told my friends, see, they're going to make me pray to Ganesha, you know. And then I can hear, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know, and I'm like, oh, they're going to make me sing this song. And I put my coat on my head, and I went to the private room. And so David started to teach me yoga, asana, Indian way. And then after about 20 minutes, I said, oh, this is very strange, something very strange. And he said, what? I said, your yoga is the same as Tibetan. What I learned in the monastery and your asana is the same. Everything's the same, you know? And we were surprised, you know. So I went back to my teacher, you know, in the monastery. I said, you know this big secret yoga that you have. You have to stay here for 20 years, 25 years. Then you can study asana, you know. I said, there's a problem. He said, what's the problem? I said, in America, some people know about your secret yoga. Then he said, how many people? I said, I saw in the Wall Street Journal, I saw 50 million Americans are doing it. Then he's like, 50 million? And I said, yeah, and you don't have to stay 20 years. You just pay $15. You can get in the first day, you know? And then I said, this is not fair, you know? And then he was then he started to cry, you know? He started to cry. And I thought, oh, he's not very good lama. He's angry. I thought, he's upset, you know. Our secret yoga, everybody knows now. So he started to cry. Then he said, "Oh, I'm so happy." You know, I said, "What? What?" You know, he said, "If you are doing asana, you are very close to enlightenment, yeah, because this is the final to change the inner body chakras. This is the final step. Also in the monastery, this is final step of your training. And if 50 million people are doing asana, then the whole world is almost enlightened, you know? And then he's thinking the whole world is about to become like mandala, you know, like enlightened place. And he's crying because he's happy, you know, he was so happy, you know? And then I said, no, Rinpoche, you don't understand. They are not doing yoga for enlightenment. They just want to lose weight. Then he said, no, don't think like that. They forgot. In their past life, they are big yogi. And the seed is vasana. The seed is inside of them to learn yoga in the next life. But they forgot why they are doing it. They see yoga sign. They feel they want to come there. They don't know why. But actually, the seed is in their mind from past life. And 50 million people are attracted to yoga. He said that's a very important, because it's a very close to enlightenment. When you are doing asana, you are very close to changing the body. So he was really happy. He said, you have to go in and tell people who forgot, you know, why they are doing yoga, you know. So I thought, that's my idea. We talk a little bit about, okay? I saw yoga in this country, in the West. It's mostly young people, yeah? Mostly 30 years old, something, 25 years old. And there's another thing happening in these countries. I was in Taipei, and I saw the place where the women leave their kids. They go at 6 o'clock in the morning. They put their kids there. There's one big television. They put the kids there. Like there are 50 kids in the store. They put the kids there. Then they go to work. Now the women are working more than the men are working. You know? And they're making more money also. In Taipei, I don't know Singapore. And then they come back around 8 o'clock at night. They don't come home at 5 or 6 o'clock. They come home maybe at 8 o'clock. And they are really tired. And then they have to cook. Because in Taipei, the man is not allowed to cook. Should be the woman has to cook. So they are working from 6 in the morning. They have to take the children. Then they work until 8. Then they come home and they cook. They're not finished until 10. Then they are exhausted. And they fall into the bed. And it makes them like feel old and tired and very fast, you know. There's a new problem in these countries, and also in America. The women don't have time to do anything, just for themselves, you know, to be healthy. So I was thinking, this yoga that I'm going to talk to you about today, it was made by a woman. Her name was Niguma. Say Niguma.
Niguma.
She lived 1,000 years ago, okay, in India, West Bengal, and she was a great yoga teacher, very great yoga teacher, and she wrote down a special yoga, and she didn't write it for losing weight. She wrote a special yoga for stress, people who have stress job. Or they have kids, and they have a hard, difficult job, and they are, you know, tired. And she made a special yoga for them. It has two parts. One part is about the stress, and releasing stress. And then the second part is about emotions. If you have anger problem, if you have jealousy problem, if you have desire problem, then you can fix it with. She has special twist for anger, special banda for jealousy, and like that. You can manage your day, your emotions. So she did two parts. So I thought it would be very nice to teach this yoga to working people. Not to the young people who come here for 2 hours. Mother can't come here for 2 hours, right, Yatpeng? She used to come to my yoga class, then she had a baby. Now I don't see her. You have time, you don't have time. They don't have time. Most of them don't have time to come. So I thought Niguma's yoga is like half hour, 45 minutes, but very, very good for your body and very, very good for your mind. And it changes your stress. You don't feel stressed. I thought this would be good to teach working people. So I told Colin about it. And I think he will try to include that maybe in Pure Studios. But he said, show it to my teachers. Just show them the idea. Because it's a very beautiful idea. And I think it will help working women, especially who are working. This is the oldest asana which is written down in the world. Yoga Sutra only has two or three lines about Sthirasukhamasana, about yoga, asana. It doesn't say much about asana. Then we have Hatha Yoga Pradipika. This is about 500 or 600 years old by Svatmarama. So we have these books. We have some book about asana from India, Geran Sanhita, Shiva Sanhita. We have Yoga Vashishta. We have a little bit about asana. So now this one is 1,000 years old. So this is the oldest written asanas in the world. And it's the only one by a woman, okay? And all the other ones are always guys. I don't know why. In Tibet also, mostly guys, you know. I think guys, they like to talk more. And they like to show off what they learned. So they write a lot of books. And then usually the women don't write so much books, you know, about what they're doing. So, but she wrote her asana and she taught. I'll tell you the story, okay? It's parampara. It means what is the lineage? What is the tradition? Where did this come from? Okay? In our custom, you need to know who is the teacher. We have to sing. Every 2 months, two weeks, right? In our system, we have to sing the names of the teachers. So Gyawa Gyalse Rida Dorje Che Gyawa Yumcho Dorje Nyanjoma Gyalse Tuo Narotape Shab. See Narotapa Naropa Narotape Shab. Thank you. So we go like that, and we have to sing it every 2 weeks. We are supposed to sing. It takes about an hour and a half, 2 hours. The whole thing. We have to review who taught, back to the beginning. So we know it's pure. Pure yoga, right? So I thought at least I will tell you who is Niguma, you know, and how did this come to me, you know. So Niguma, she was a village girl in northeast India, okay? And her people's name is Nigu, okay? Her people's name is Nigu. And then there was a king in that country, and he had a son who was a prince named, the prince's name is Naropa. Okay? You know Naropa University in America, maybe, but Naropa lived 1,000 years ago. In those times, the Buddhist and the Hindu yogis, they work together. They are studying together, they are working together, they are learning yoga together. So his father told Naropa, I want you to find a wife, you know. You have to make a baby for the next king, you know. So he didn't want to get married. He wanted to just be a yogi and, you know, study and do asana, and he didn't want to have a family. But the father and mother fought with him a lot. So then one day he had an idea. I will tell them, impossible girl description, and then I will agree to get married if they can find her. So he said, okay, I will get married, but you have to find a girl. Her name should be Niguma. She should be 16 years old. They get married young, yeah? It should be very, very beautiful. She should be a good Hindu, Brahmin's daughter. And she should be a Buddhist also. This is impossible. Okay? At that time, this is not possible, you know? So he said, if you can find her, I will marry her, you know? So there's a long story. You want the whole story? Okay, you can tell people. So the king told his two ministers, you go find, try to find this girl. You know? So they went to all the villages and they interviewed everybody, tried to find somebody named Niguma, and they couldn't find anybody. After 1 year, they couldn't find anybody. Then they are tired and they got very skinny, and they are all burned by the sun, and they look like a beggar. And they went to, then they got very tired, they stopped in one village, and there's one well for water. They decide to go to the well, and then one girl came, very beautiful. And she's taking water from the well, but she has special siddhi, like power. She dropped the bucket, and then the bucket came back up, like full of water. Then she doesn't have to go like this, just come up, and she'll pour out the water. Then they are watching her. Oh, she's a special girl, you know. Then she has sutra. She has one special Brahmin's thread, right? And so, oh, she is the daughter of a Brahmin. Then they went to her, and they look very dirty. They don't look like king's worker, you know. They look very dirty and tired, and they look like beggar, you know. But she was very kind to them. She said, oh, you look very tired, and can I give you something to drink, and can I wash your feet for you? And then they thought, oh, in her heart, she's like a Buddha, you know. So she is Brahmin, who is like a Buddha. So she is... They said, what is your name? She said, Niguma. Oh. They got all excited. Then they said, we are working for the king. You can be the queen. You are going to be the princess. You are going to marry our prince, Naropa. And then she said, you ask my father. Because in India, this is, if my father agrees, I will do. If he doesn't agree, I'm not going to do. You know? So they went to ask the father. Then the father said, no. You know, I don't want her to leave. He was like very strict. She should stay in the house. So the two ministers, they start to sleep in front of the door. They wouldn't leave. He said, we can't find another one like this, you know. So they sleep in front of the door. Then every day he just walks over them and he goes through his thing. He ignores them, you know. Then all of the village people came. You know, one person came, why are you sleeping there? They explained, she can be princess, your village can be famous, but the father is not agreeing, you know. And then slowly all the town people start to come, and they are yelling, you know, give the daughter, give the daughter. Then finally he said, okay, she can marry Naropa. So they went, they had a big ceremony in the palace, and she became the princess. But he wasn't happy. He didn't want to have a family. He said, I want to study yoga all day. I want to read the books. I want to debate. You know, I don't want to live a family life. He tried for a few years. He tried to be a good prince. And then finally he got tired and he said, if there's some way I can leave and become a sadhu, if I can go to the forest, then I'll be happy. To tell you the truth, you know, I love you, but, you know, it's not. I don't want to have a lot of money and things like that. So then, she said, "In this country, you can't. In India, you can't divorce. There's no such thing. You know, we are stuck together." Then, she said, "But I have an idea. Okay, we will go to the king and the queen, and we will tell them a story." He said, "What?" He said, I will confess that I cheating on you, that I have another boyfriend, you know? I will tell the father and mother. It's not true. She's a very good person. But she said, I will lie for you. And then they will say, okay, you can divorce and you can go. And then I will come with you. And you can be my teacher. You know. She also wanted to learn yoga and learn these things. So they did the plan, and they announced to the father, Brahmin father, and to the king and the queen, she's cheating on him. She gave up her most precious thing, her reputation. She gave up her name, her good name. She gave for him. And then they went to study. He met a teacher named Tilopa. And Tilopa is a real yogi. And he lives in the forest, and they studied yoga with him, okay, for many years. And then Naropa became very famous yoga teacher, and Niguma became a very famous yoga teacher. Then you can see Naguma's picture, okay? I think Naropa's on the first page. Let me see. Just, okay, you can see. Yeah, that's Naropa on the first page, okay? That's little black and white. That's the prince. That's during when he's a yogi. He has long hair, and he was also a monk. But that's his picture. That one was carved in Dalai Lama's palace. That picture comes from Dalai Lama's palace in Tibet. Then next page, I think, or two pages. Yeah, this is Niguma, okay? This is a picture of Niguma. I don't think she does yoga in this close. Okay. Niguma, later she went to Ganga River, and she started to live on an island there. It's called Sosa. The island is called Sosa. We don't know where it is now. In the old book, it's called Sosa. And she started a special school for yoginis, just for women to do yoga. And a few hundred women came. And she had asana school there, and she's teaching what I'm going to teach you today. We will do half talk and we will do half yoga, okay? So what I teach you today, she taught to her student, all women, okay, on this island, very beautiful island. And then they became very famous. Even they could fly, some of them, and they got cities, right? Like to fly and things like that. Sometimes they have the class in the sky. She became very famous. There was one Tibetan monk, his name is Kyumbul Namjor, okay? And he heard about her, and he said, I want to learn the yoga. They said, you can't go, it's only girls are allowed there, you know? He said, no, I really want to learn the yoga, you know? So he walked from Tibet. It takes about 6 months, because Tibet, a Himalaya mountain, you have to walk down. And he walked a long, long way. He came to the Ganga, and he came to Sosa Island. And there's nothing there, you know? Nobody's there. Then he heard somebody, like, teaching, I think, okay, Tadasana, Uttanasana. He's like, what is that, you know? And then he looked up, did all these ladies are doing yoga in the sky, you know, in the sky. Then there's one teacher, that's her picture. And she is leading the yogini. Then he called up to her. He brought a bag of gold, dust. In the old India, you have to give a bag of gold. You have to sell everything you have, your car, your house, sell everything. Make gold, go to the teacher, say, please teach me, you know? And you give up your life. You stay with the teacher. I stayed with my teacher for 20 years in the same house. Cook his food, wash his dishes, clean his clothes, drive his car, water his roses, you know. So this is tradition. So he said, okay, I have my gold for you. She took the gold from in the sky, and she just threw it everywhere. She said, I don't need gold. You go away, you know. This is a women's yogi place, you know. You go away. You know? And then he said, please, you know. And then she said, I'm going to eat you, you know. And then she got very tough with him. But then finally she agreed. And she said, but you cannot study here. You have to go. This is the lady's yogini's place. She took him in the sky, and she flew to a mountain, one special mountain, and she taught him the yoga which I'm going to teach you today, okay, and tomorrow. She taught him this yoga. But he fell asleep. So a very famous story. He was so tired from all this excitement and flying in the sky. It's very scary to fly in the sky. Someone's just holding you. He got to the mountain, he fell asleep. Then she came into his dream. And she taught him this asana first time in his dream. Okay. Then the next day he woke up, and then she taught him again. So there's a joke that he got two times, one time in a dream, one time awake. So he studied it, then he came back to Tibet. And for seven generations, they had a rule. You can only teach one person in your life. So each generation, only one person learned the asana. Then in the time of the second Dalai Lama, his name is Gendun Gyatso. He lived 600 years ago. Then they start to teach classes, in the classes. So now we teach this asana in the classes now. But that's the story, okay? That's where the asana came from. Nigumas yoga is very effective. It works very fast and easy. And it doesn't take much time, and you don't have to be strong. It is working on the inner body. It is working on the chakras, you know? So in our monastery, we study the chakras for many years. And there are many, many things you have to know about how the chakras work. If you understand how the chakras work, then you can understand Nigumas yoga. Why is it good for working women, for example? What is it good for teaching people? Okay, so I want to explain to you. It takes maybe 2 days. Okay, half the day, half the time. I'll talk to you about, because a lot of a lot of people talk about chakra and they're just making it up. They don't know anything. They didn't really study anything. So they I heard something. This chakra is purple. Is it somewhere on your ear? You know, and I think it make you hungry, or something like that. And they didn't study very well. There are different systems of chakras in different books you can read, and different traditions in India. And the good ones are true, okay? So there's more than one system. Some say six chakras, some say seven, sometimes five. But each one is okay, because each person experienced their body differently, right? So each one is okay. I'm going to teach you Niguma system and Naropa system. I studied Naropa system. I started in 1978 until 1999, okay? So a lot. We have to memorize the book. Then they teach it to us, the sadhana, right? So I'll teach you something about inner body. And this is real. And you can use it when you teach the asana. Then it makes you a better teacher. And then you understand more clearly why does the yoga work and what is the yoga for. And then we see. Then if it's fun, I'll come back. We can do Yoga Sutra sometime. Or we can do Hatha Yoga Pradipika. Then you become a much, much better teacher. And because you know the ideas. And we did in New York now for 7 years. And all of the teachers are really good now. They really understand chakras and prana. And the level of the yoga in those studios in New York, it's amazing. It's really good. 300 people are teaching it. So I want to start here, okay? So here we go. We are starting today. It's 2:47. On May 16th, 15th, something like that. And it will take 7 or 10 years, okay? But you are starting today. But I won't tell you that, otherwise you get tired. So I go for maybe another, maybe 20 minutes or something. Then we take a break, okay? Then you walk around and drink some water. Then we do the asana. Okay, so everybody got these three things. Did everybody get?
Yes.
You have? So I want to teach you about inner body, the inner body, chakra body, okay? And then you will understand the asana much better, Niguma's asana, okay? So first start with this one, okay? This is, in Tibet we call Tsauma. Tsauma means central channel. It starts here, okay, under the bone, under the skull. And there's a pipe. It comes, under the skull it comes out like this. At the end it actually facing out like this, okay? There's a little thing like that. And it comes here and it's a facing out here. When in India people put the bindi on their head, because of the central channel, main channel. You call sushumna in India, okay? Say sushumna. Sushumna is really su-su, mana, okay? Su-su-mana. Su means good. Like sukha means happy, right? Sukha means goodwill. That's a long story. But su-su means good. After a u and after I, in Sanskrit, sa must change to sha. It's a rule. So we don't say su-sunna, we say su-shunna, okay? It's the same thing, it's su-su. It's old Indo-European is esu, esu, E-S-U, E-S-U. It means good, okay, esu. Then in Sanskrit, E drop off became su. In Greek language, the S drop off. It became EU, like Eurythmics, euthanasia, what do you call it? Euphoria. EU means good or happy. So ESU in Greek became EU, and in Sanskrit it became SU. But it's the same meaning, it means good. SUSU means really good. Okay, SUSU, SUSHU, okay? Then MANA, it can relate to mind, like MANAS. But it also means a song. And it came into English in the word hymn. H-Y what?
M-N.
Okay? Su-su-mn. So then we say su-su-su-mna. It means a very good song. Okay? It means inside this channel there's a nada, right? There's song. There's a beautiful song of God in this channel. Okay. So they call the beautiful, beautiful song, Su-su-na. Okay? And it has other names. We will talk about that. In the Hatiyavada Pradipika, it has like, I don't know, 11 names or something. But it starts here, goes under the skull, and then comes out the skull at the neck, and then it moves inside to the front of the spine. So if the spine is here, the sushumna is coming down like this. And the spinal cord, it grows around the sushumna, okay? So the sushumna is about half inch in front of the spine. It goes down, continues down straight. It comes under your legs, and then comes, the other end is at the tip. In the boy, it's at the tip of your organ. In the girl, it's at the tip of your vagina. So this is, sushumna goes this way. It's like a pipe. It's like, what do you call it? Straw. McDonald's straw, yeah? It's about that thick, okay? It's made of light. It's physical. It's not mental. It's physical, but it's made of light. So you can't touch it like that, mm-hmm. You know? Like there's light coming here, I can't touch it. The sushumna is made of this kind of light. It's like a pipe. And then inside it travels prana, right? In Chinese,
chi.
In Japanese, ki.
Ki.
In Tibetan, they call lung.
Lung.
Okay? So lung means prana. Pra-ana is two words, okay? Prana is two words. Pra means in the front. And the word front comes from P-R-A, pra. The prow of the boat, or this person is a very proud person, that PR is the same as pra in prana. An means to breathing. Like any creature which is breathing, we call an
animal.
Okay? Animus, animal, animated, anime, they all mean breathing thing. Okay? So prana means very breathing. Okay? Like the breath of life. Okay? Prana, then it came prana. Okay, so prana means the breath of life. the energy of life. This is also a physical energy. It's like light, and it's traveling inside this sushumna. Okay, when the prana is in the sushumna, you feel good, you feel happy, you feel also smart. Okay, the mind is clear. You can meditate good. You can concentrate on your asana, samadhi, kindness, love, compassion, wisdom, happiness, joy. All of these are traveling inside the sushumna. When the prana is in the sushumna, you feel good. And you're smart. And you also love other people. You're nice to other people. If the prana is in the sushumna. Why? I'll teach you one thing. We have to say in the monastery many, many times. Say lung.
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 Lung. Say lung.
Lung. Lung. Lung.
Sem.
Sem.
Dupa.
Dupa.
Chikpa.
Chikpa.
Lung.
Lung.
Sem.
Sem.
Jupa.
Jupa.
Chikpa.
Chikpa.
Okay. Lung means prana. Sem means your mind. Jupa, chikpa means they always ride together. They always go together. Where does your body meet your mind? See, your mind you cannot touch. Where is my mind? You can point, in India they point here, in Tibet they point here, in America they point here. But actually your mind you cannot touch, right? Where is your mind? What's in your refrigerator at home? How many shoes do you have? Mine went to home. You see? Have you been to New York? Have you been to Houston? And then the mind goes to Houston. The mind is not like this, right? So where does the mind meet the body? You know, if you drink a lot of Qingdao.
Qingdao.
Yeah.
The
beer. Beer. Yeah.
Beer.
If you drink a lot of beer, it makes you stupid, right? No, you get like you know. So we can see there's a connection between the. You put the beer in the body, but then the mind got stupid. Okay? So there must be some connection somewhere. Somewhere there must be connection, you know? You get angry, then your heart starts to go, dunk, dunk, dunk. So there must be somewhere the mind has to connect to the body. We don't know where, you know? You get angry at work many times, you get ulcer. Well, why? Where's the connection between the body and mind? Body is, we say tokche. Tokche means physical, right? But mind, you can't touch the mind. Your mind goes to your refrigerator. It doesn't have to take subway or the taxi. It just goes, you know? You can't touch the mind. So where the mind meets the body is inside sushumna. Inside sushumna. The prana is moving. And the prana is like a horse. And then the mind, the ideas come on top. They are riding on that horse. So when the prana moves, you think, you feel something. If it moves in this channel, you feel happy, okay, in sushumna. When it's moving in sushumna, the prana is carrying happy thoughts. The prana is carrying clear mind. The prana is carrying your intelligence. Okay, if you could put the prana all the time into sushumna, you could make a $250 million company with no experience about business at all, okay? Because the mind is more clear and you can see future. You can do anything. You can do 25, someone told me, Geshe Michael, I don't believe you made a company and you did a Geshe, because you're not that old. You didn't have time to do 20 years business and 25 years, Geshe. I said, I did at the same time. I spent 1 month in New York, then 1 month in the monastery, I'm going like this, you know. They said, how is that possible? You know, nobody ever finished a Geshe, no Western person. You know, and the company is the fastest growing company in the history of New York. So how did you do two things at the same time? It's the sushumna. Okay, so if you can bring the prana into the sushumna, you can be successful at everything, and also you're happy. I mean, I'm very relaxed. I enjoy my life. I'm happy almost all the time, except if I don't get Starbucks, okay? but mostly I'm really happy. So if you can put the sushumna into the the prana into sushumna. This is the goal. This is one of the goals of yoga. Okay. Now there's another. These two guys, they are a problem. Okay. They are a problem. This is a problem. Okay. I'm going to introduce you to the problems. So they know. We go to airports a lot, right? We are traveling all the time. And I have antenna on my head. Yesterday we went to, which airport were we in? Hong Kong. And we went to Terminal 2, right? And I said, oh, beep, 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 beep. They said, what? I said, I smell Starbucks in this building. There's a Starbucks. You know, I have antenna for Starbucks. Because I like cocoa. I like hot cocoa. So I said, oh, there's a Starbucks. I can feel, you know. So I like to call this is a Starbucks channel. Hot cocoa channel. It starts here, okay, on the left side. Okay, the white one starts about here on the left side. Okay, and it goes up and follows the sushumna under the skull, and then in front of the spine. So they look. They don't mix, okay? But they are touching each other. They don't mix the prana, but they are touching. And it's a little bit longer, right? So sushumna stops here, and this one starts here. This name is what in India? Sanskrit? Ida. Say da.
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 Which part of your tongue is touching your mouth?
Da.
That's the front, right? So I teach you how to make proper Sanskrit da. You now touch the very tip of your tongue in the same place. Da.
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 It looks like a little bit smile. Okay? Da.
Da.
You just turn the tongue, touch this part on the top instead of this part. If you touch here, you da. If you touch here, da.
Da.
So the real name of this channel is Ida.
Yeah.
You are idiot. So in India there are two D's. Okay, one is like dhyana or dharma. Or dhyana, yeah, and then idra, pandita, mandala. These are all with the retroflex. We call retroflex. Okay. So anyway, this is called idra. Idra means a sheep. Okay. That animal, sheep, because the sheep is usually white color, okay, except for the black sheep. All right, so they gave the name, or idli dosa. I think the coconut also some white color, yeah? So anyway, ida means in a white color. In Tibet, they call kyangma, okay? They gave kyangma name. So this one starts here. It follows the central channel. It comes down the same way, but it also splits down your left leg. So it also goes down your left leg. Mm. Inside of this one travels your good thoughts. Happy, smart, good business, good study, good meditation, good debating. Nice person, likes other people, okay? In this one is, I want Starbucks. Today, now, I must have, you know. She's like, Geshla, we are going to miss the plane. We almost missed the plane. We are running. We were running. And they held the plane. We were very lucky. I don't know why. Why? Why were we late?
Starbucks.
Geshe Michael has to have cocoa. You know, we are sitting in Starbucks. They are announcing, where's Michael Roach? Where's Mercedes? And we are, no, I have to have a chocolate, you know. This one, I want something, you know. It's not wrong to enjoy chocolate. If you enjoy the chocolate, the prana is in the sushumna. But if you are upset, I must have, you know, I don't care that other people are waiting on the plane, I must have chocolate now. Then the prana switch to the, to ida, okay? It goes to the ida. So when you want something too much, what's it mean too much? I will hurt other people to get it. I will. The other people can wait on the airplane. I need hot chocolate. You know, the test. How do you know this wanting is a good wanting or a bad wanting? Bad wanting is, I don't care what other. I don't care about other people. I want hot chocolate. Okay. Then the prana switch from the. It comes out of the sushumna. It goes into the, ida, Because Ida is the Starbucks channel, okay? White color. Then there's this one, okay? This one. This one, Sanskrit name?
Pingala.
Pingala. Pingala came into English as pink, okay? Pink, it means red color. Okay, so Pingala came into English, the language, as pink. If you know Sanskrit well, you can pick up an English newspaper and every word comes from Sanskrit. Every word. You can see every word, you can see the Sanskrit. You know, it's very beautiful. All the languages in the West came from Sanskrit, right? So Pingala came into English as pink. Okay? So that's the red one. It starts here, a little bit lower than the Sushumna. Sushumna is here. Starts here, right? So inside the Pingala, okay, Geshe might, you know, he wants a hot chocolate, okay? And he's waiting at Starbucks. And then they say, we don't have. Today we don't have. Then the prana moves from here to here. The prana moves from here to here. This is I want. For me, I don't care, it hurts other people. Then they say, Geshe Mago, you can't get hot chocolate today. Oh, why? In America, every Starbucks has hot chocolate. I don't know what's wrong with Hong Kong. You know, this Starbucks here is very, very bad. You know, you people don't know anything, you know. And then all the prana came to the Pingala. Pingala is angry, upset, nervous, anxiety, stress. Okay? When you feel, first you want the chocolate. Then they say, you can't have today. Oh, that's so bad. Then the prana comes from here to here. Okay? Then you feel upset, you feel angry, you feel like this is a very bad thing. Okay? These are, now I have some bad news for you. Okay? So Sushumna is here. This is difficult. Ida is here. In some place in the body, this trout comes over. It turns, comes over the, and then goes back, like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in some places in the body, the Ida comes across the Sushumna, and then it goes back again. Okay. And also Pingala. So it starts here, but it crosses over the Sushumna and it comes back, okay? And this makes a knot. What they call in Sanskrit? Granti. Well, the knot is called granti, okay? Granti. And it means a knot, okay? It makes a knot. Like that. So I want you to try, okay? Try to make a knot. You just go across and comes back. Red one is on your right, white one is on your left. The red one should be on your right. And the left, it's really like this, okay? Red ones come down on the right, white one is down on the left. And they cross over. This Sushumna is a little bit lazy. He doesn't want to stay up, I don't know. Okay, it looks like that. If you do it with your own hands, you will remember. Okay. Yeah, that's good. When the prana goes through the Starbucks channel, when you want, it gets bigger, it gets fat, okay? Like balloon. That nadi, right? Nadi means channel, right? So when you want the cocoa and you don't care if other people are waiting for the airplane, okay? Then the prana is moving into the ida. Okay, the left-hand channel. You can also call moon channel, okay? And you can call this the sun channel, Surya and Chandra. Then the ida gets fat. Then it chokes the Sushumna. Okay? Here it chokes the Sushumna. The prana cannot move. Prana gets stuck. Okay? What kind of thought are you having? When prana is in sushumna, what kind of thought are you having?
Happy.
Happy. Happy, creative, intelligent,
smart,
good business mind,
okay.
Good relationship mind. You are friendly to your partner, to your friends, to your wife. You have a good relationship, okay? Everything is going smooth. You're better in business, better in relationship. Your health is better. If the prana is moving in sushumna, everything is good. Okay. Then you want the Starbucks. Then the prana moves out of sushumna. Not only that, this chokes the sushumna. Okay. So when you are wanting cocoa and you don't care about people in the plane, you cannot have a good thought. Not possible. Because there's no horse to carry that thought. There's no prana to carry that thought. That thought will not move. You will not have that idea. Oh, those people are waiting in the plane. I can't have cocoa today. I should go to the plane. They are waiting for me. Okay? You won't have that thought. Because all the prana is somewhere else. Prana is in the ida. You don't have enough prana for all three. Okay? If the prana is in the ida, it cannot stay in the sushumna. Okay? This is very important. There's a limited amount of prana. If it goes into the ida, it will choke, it will come out of the sushumna. Also, it will choke the sushumna. You can't have a good thought. Okay? What if you try to have a good thought? Okay, I want Starbucks. But I also like all the people on the plane. I wish they also had Starbucks. You know? You try to have a good thought. It's like the sushumna is like a water hose, fire truck hose, right? The prana is moving like water. Then you get this idea, I must have Starbucks, okay? Then it chokes the water flow. It gets stuck here. Then the pressure builds up more and more and more. It starts to get fat, okay? The sushumna here, there becomes like a little ball. Then finally, what happens in the garden hose?
It bursts.
The sushumna bursts, okay? But not one place. It bursts in several places. Then I have to borrow you, okay? If you go to your friend, and his central channel coming down here, right?
Mm-hmm.
His sushumna. Then I'm looking down his sushumna. From the top of his head, I'm looking down his sushumna. And it burst out, okay? It's in your book. That's the one, page 8. What's your name?
Greg.
So if you look down Greg's sushumna, and if the water pipe is burst, it looks like that. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because they're coming out to the side. Many are coming out to the side. They broke out. Okay. This happens in the womb, okay? It happened a long time ago. Everybody has this. What's the Sanskrit name for this thing?
Chakra.
That's a chakra. Okay, the Sanskrit name for wheel is chakra. It came from in Sanskrit, duplication. If something is doing strongly, many times. Kar means to do, right? Kar. Like karma comes from that. Then you say kar, with duplication. If you want to say he's doing something, you say karta, karma. If you want to repeat or make stronger, you say kirkar. It means doing many times. Then that became chakra. And that became chakra. Why? Because wheel is doing something over and over again. It doesn't just work one time, it works all day. So they called the wheel kirkar. Then it became chakra. Okay? So chakra means a wheel. I ask you a question. Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Which one?
Chakra. This chakra. How did it happen? How did it come? How did it come?
When sushumna burst.
Yeah. Starbucks gave problems. Sushumna had to break open. Okay. Starbucks made a problem. And sushumna had to burst open. The chakra is a trouble. Chakra is a bad thing. Okay. Chakra is a result of the prana going in the wrong place. Ida and Pingala. These are the, I like to call them the bad guys. Okay? Ida and Pingala are the bad guys. Okay? They are choking Sushumna. Then Sushumna break open. Then chakra forms. In the heart there are 8 spokes. In the navel there are 64. Then 16, 32, there are different numbers, okay? But chakra is a bad thing, okay? We want to remove the chakras. I'll give you a beautiful... If you don't have angry thought, right, for a long time, this, all the prana will move into the sushumna. And Pingala also will disappear. Pingala will shrink, and it will move into the sushumna. It will disappear. You won't have a pingala. Okay. And if you don't want Starbucks, it's okay to like cocoa. That's a good enjoyment is moving in here. Happy enjoyment is moving in here. Unhappy wanting is moving in here. There's a difference, right?
Mm.
It's one thing to enjoy a Starbucks. You pay for it properly. Nobody's waiting for you. You have 10 minutes. You can enjoy it. Then the prana is moving in sushumna. You're a happy person. Do you like your Starbucks? Yeah. Is anyone waiting for you? No, I'm free. You know, I'm enjoying. But if you are upset and you're like, I must have, I don't care if other people are waiting, then the prana is moving in the Ida, right? If you stop thinking like that for a long time, Ida will disappear into the Sushumna, okay? It will join the Pingala in the Sushumna, inside. Then you only feel happy, all the time. Okay, you only feel happy all the time. What's the Sanskrit word for sun?
Surya.
Surya and also ha. It has 2 names. It has many names. Surya or ha. Okay. Ha came into Greek as helios. Helium. It means the sun, of the sun. Okay. And then cha. Sorry, I get it. Chandra, or the white channel, is also called ta.
Ta.
That's also a retroflex. Say ta.
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 How are you? I'm tired. Ta. Ta. If you really want nice sound good, if you go to India and say ha ta, they're like, what? You know, you have to say ha ta. Ha ta. Ha ta yoga. Okay? So our goal, take the ha, take the ta, join them. How to say join?
Yog.
Yeah. The goal is Hatha Yoga. Bring the sun, bring the moon into the central channel. Enjoy all the time. Happy all the time. Hatha Yoga. Got it? That's the real meaning of Hatha Yoga. It's not like Hatha means easy yoga or something like that. Or Hatha is physical or like that. It can mean that. But the real meaning is we want to remove these 2 channels, they go, then avadhuti, okay? Ava means, get off of me. Ava came into English as off. Dhuti means, get off of me, okay? That's the other famous name of the Sushumna. Sometimes Sushumna is called avadhuti. Why? Sushumna is talking to these 2 guys, get off of me. You know, like that, ava. Dhuti. So that other famous name of Sushumna is Avadhuti. Very beautiful. Get off of me. This is the get off of me channel. Okay? So, last thing, then we can do some yoga, okay? Niguma knew all this thing. Oh, by the way, there are chakra here. Sorry, here. 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 I don't want anyone in this class to point to my heart chakra, okay? There is no chakra here. The chakra is back here, okay? They're all in the back. That's why yoga, it's so important to work with your back and your spine, because most of the chakras are there, okay? So one is here, one is here, one is here, one is at the heart, one is behind the, they call navel chakra, it's not in your navel, okay? It's just location is here. Behind the navel, okay? And then one in the tailbone and one in the groin, okay? Perineum. And the Sanskrit names, you know, Muladhara holds the root. And then you can call the Swadhisthana. Everybody says Swadhisthana. say
Swadhisthana.
It's a dish, okay? Why? Because any time an S comes after an I, it must change to Sha. This is a rule, like Ishvara. Okay? So Swadhisthana. Swadhisthana is here, okay? That means to bless yourself. It is a long story. There's a deep practice there. To bless yourself. Sva Adhisthana. And then this one they call Manipura. This is also a backwards N, okay? Mani. It's not Manny. Okay? Manipura. The city of jewels. Okay? Manipura. Then Anahata. An means not, right? Like anemic. Or atheist, or agnostic, or apolitical, or apathetic, they all, in Greek it's called privative A. It means A at the beginning, atheist, doesn't believe in God. A means not. If it comes before a vowel, it has to change to N. So an means not. UN came from that. Like, impolite, okay? Unwieldy, like that. An means not, okay? Ah means very much. Hata means to strike. Okay, it comes from a root han, to strike. Ahimsa comes from that, not striking. The word gun comes from han. Okay, so ahata means not strike. So what's that mean? Your heart sounds like a drum. It's going badum, 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 but nobody's hitting. Nobody's hitting it. So they call it the badunk with no hitter. An ahata. Nobody hit it. It's still beating, but no, there's no guy sitting there and banging on it. Okay? So anahata. Then vishuddha. It starts to separate the food. Here. Vishuddha. And then sahasrara. Sahasrara. Sahasrara means 1,000. Ara means those spokes, like the wheel. So it's supposed to be it has 1,000. Sahasra ara. So sahasrara means 1,000. In Niguma system they have different name, I won't talk about it. We'll do it tomorrow. Okay, we'll talk about it tomorrow. The important thing you need to know is two things. And then we'll start some yoga. And it's easy yoga. It's supposed to be for women who are stressed out with the kids screaming and the husband wants the food and the boss wants the report. And it should be easy yoga, but powerful. Most bang for the buck, right? You don't spend much time, but you get some powerful. You really get strong, you get skinny, you get happy, and your mind becomes clear. And you don't spend more than half an hour, 45 minutes, okay? And like that. Big result, small investment. Anybody can do, even if they have a beautiful boy. Okay. So Niguma said, our goal is to open the knot, right? Our goal is to open the chakra. This is the goal of the yoga. This is Hatha Yoga is the goal, right? So she said, at each chakra. Yeah, that's a mistake, right? I still do it. I say, no. Okay. You have to, she said at each chakra, you should do four asanas. So this part you have to know, you have to remember, okay? At each chakra, you should do four asanas, okay? That's her system. If you do four asanas at each chakra, you will open the sushumna. You will release the chakra. What happens if you release the chakra? What is it? Page 9, 10, I don't know. Let me see. Yeah, page 9. There they are. What happens if you release the chakra? You feel happy. Okay? You feel happy. Those are all children smiling. Okay? You feel happy. You feel creative. You feel smart. You feel strong. You feel anything. You can. Your mind is calm. You can do, if you want to make a $250 million company in spare time, it's okay, you can do. If you want to finish Geshe in 25 years, nobody ever did. Nobody. which you can do at the same time, because the chakra is open. Okay, so it will help people if you teach them this. Being the really the yoga will help these people. Okay, that's your goal, right? You want to help people. That's why you're here. That's why you're teaching yoga. You want to make happy people. If you teach people yoga for 1 year, and after that they are all happy, mm-hmm. and their husband is happy, and their business is successful, and they feel great, and they are not spending much time, that's your goal. You want to produce happy people. That's your yoga teacher's goal. She said, do 4 asanas at each chakra. Okay, 4 asanas. What's the first one? What do you think? What is the goal of the first asana? Guess. We have a problem here. Yeah, it's a twist, right? So you have to untwist. Look, watch. She said untwist. Okay? So the first asana at each chakra. Sorry. He's going to kill me. At each chakra. At each chakra, you have to untwist first. Okay? Untwist. That's the first asana at each chakra. Should untwist. Okay? Then you have a beautiful. It's okay?
Not really.
Problem. What's wrong? What will be the next asana?
Straight.
So the second asana is always a stretch. Okay. Any kind of stretch. First one is a twist, second one is a stretch. These three, I didn't tell you something. Where do they connect? Where do they connect? Okay. Go like this. Okay. In China, you call chun, I think. This measurement. They don't, in Tibet or China, they don't say 1 inch. They say anguli, right? In India. It's this. You say, how much Starbucks chocolate you want? I want 8 chun. Give me 8 chun. Or 12 is okay. I don't want 4. But this is how to measure in the old times. This is called the chun. There are 16 chuns to a to. There are 4 tos to a dom. And there are 240 doms to a yojana. And this is how you measure things in the old days. We also had feet, right? Yeah. It used to be feet, right? So take 4 chun.
This is 3 inches. Consider 3 inches. 4
yeah.
Fingers.
And you take your belly button.
4 inches. 3
and you
inches
measure.
Now. Yes.
And that's where the connection is, in the back. In the back. So those three are connected in the back, okay? Like a pipe. Like I think I put a picture in somewhere.
Yes.
What page? What's the page number?
10.
Page 10, okay? I put a picture for you. So they connect like that. They connect it. So first you want to untwist. Second you want to straighten. Third you want to bring the prana into the sushumna. Suck it in. Suck it into the sushumna. Should be some kind of bandha. Okay? Like Uddiyana bandha. Or some sucking. Or strength. You call it core, right? Should bring the prana. We straighten these out. We want to move the prana into the happy channel, intelligent channel. Okay. Then there tends to be a little bit of, a lot of prana moves in here, it stays here. Then you have to spread it. They go like this in the monastery, you know. You have to spread the prana up, okay? You have to do some kind of shaking. Okay, and I'll show you. So at each chakra, we will first untwist, then straighten, then bring the prana into the sushumna. Then we call distribute. In Tibetan they say tigda dimba. It means distribute the bindus of prana, like that, okay? Now, most important thing, and then we'll start the yoga. It must go in the right order. You can't untwist here a little bit, and then stretch here a little bit, and then try to bring some prana in over here, and it should go in a order from bottom to top. So you work from the bottom. I should do 4 asanas for Muladhara. Then I should do 4 asanas for Svadhisthana. And I should do 4 asanas for Manipura. Manipura. How many asanas for Anahata? Did I tell you there's a problem at Anahata? There's 3 knots. The ida goes around 3 times. The pingala goes around 3 times at the heart. So it needs a little more attention. It needs a little more. You can do a back bend. You can do a twist. You can do a forward bend. You can do some kind of viparita karani, put some pressure on the heart in the back. And these are all because this is a triple problem. This is the, if you open this chakra, you have love. When they say Valentine's Day, they have what? They have in Singapore?
Yes.
They have a heart, right? This is correct. I don't know who figured it out. I don't know why they figured it out. Maybe when you feel love, your heart is, you know, you see your girlfriend and you're like, like, something changed here, right? That's true. If you can open the heart chakra, you feel love for everybody. You feel real love for everybody, all the time. Compassion. If you can open this one. So we spend a little more work there. And then you move up to the Vishuddha, and then you go to the Sahasrara, right? So it should go in order. You can't like do a headstand and then do Hanumanasana. It's mixed up. It should open in order. If you have many knots, you have to do this one first, and then you have to do this one, then you have to do this. You have to open it like that. You can also go down. It's not as strong. To go up is stronger. We do both. But it takes 2 or 3 hours. And nobody has time. So usually you go down and then go up. But in her yoga, just go up. It's okay. Okay. So we'll take a break. I think let's do, it's 3:30 now. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to have about a 5-10 minutes break, okay? Mm-hmm. Go pee-pee, get your... Say again? Yeah! I saw 2 on the way.
Yeah.
I'm watching. And then Mercedes and Ningbo, they're going to assist us. Yatpeng, you want to raise your hand? Yatpeng's going to help. Ningbo's going to help. And Mercedes. They will show you how to put the mats, so it's easy for me to teach you. So have a break. Bye.
Okay.
Yeah.